Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Lane Moore, welcome to TV Club. Lane Moore is a best-selling author and comedian whose new audio and ebook, You're Not the Only One Fucking Up, Breaking the Endless Cycle of Dating Mistakes, is available now. Also, the creator of the hit comedy show Tinder Live. Hi. I'm so happy you're here.
Me too. I know. It feels like a long time coming.
Yeah. We've been like Twitter, internet friends. We talk about a lot of the same shows. So I am so excited to really get into it. Because sometimes I'm like, I didn't think anyone else was watching this. And you tweet about it. And I'm like, whew, I am not alone. So.
No. And I also like don't really passively watch anything. If I'm watching something, I'm like deeply invested.
Deeply watching. So honestly, I just want to jump right into our watch list because we're watching so much of the same stuff. What are you looking at right now? What's on your list?
Oh my God. What I watched this week was bleak as hell. So I hope this isn't what you're watching because my mental health has suffered. I watched The Quiet on the Set, the Dan Schneider documentary.
Of course.
And then last night, because apparently my soul needs help, I also watched the 2020 documentary on the momfluencer who was
my gosh, me too.
We're not well, but we are well.
I spent literally all of my weekend just watching the most miserable documentaries for some reason. I watched one about I'm actually going to look the name up instead of.
It's so dark. I'm like, this has been a dark week. I'm so glad that you've been watching the same stuff. Cause I'm like, usually I have stuff that's like fun that I can talk about, but I'm like, it's been a rough week.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched
the Selena documentary.
Oh,
that's my week.
Okay. We're going to definitely talk about that one. Cause I have a lot of thoughts on Yolanda. Yes. I also watched From Dreams to Tragedy, The Fire That Shook Brazilian Football. And it's about like this teen soccer league that like was living in this soccer camp and it was not legit housing and there was a big fire and like 10 players died and it's so sad. And then it came out like that the company had gotten all this money to redo the properties, but instead they invested it all in just the stadium. And it's a huge skit and it was just so sad. So I don't know why I can't stop watching sad documentaries right now.
And all the sad documentaries I watched this week hit on like very I literally like just recorded a podcast episode about this. The synchronicity is unreal about like why, like I used to love true crime. I don't watch as much of it anymore.
Yeah.
But now the stuff that I watch is like so specific, like, but I won't watch like 10 hours of like, this woman was murdered and this woman was murdered.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that anymore. But the stuff I watch now, it's like all this stuff that like really meant something to me and also is like a cultural thing. Oh my God. I also watched last night or a couple nights ago. There's a new Hulu thing. I'm sure you're already on board. That's called like The Dark Side of the 2000s.
Oh yeah. I watched that.
Yeah. Not surprised. So I was watching that, but it's like all these things that are like dissecting culture really is what they are. That's so interesting to me. That's like, the stuff that you kind of watched and you were like, something's up with that. And there's so much more depth to it than you thought. Because, you know, as kids, we were like, oh, these people on our favorite TV shows are like doing great. They have the life that I want. And then you're like,
no, it's not good. Not good. Yeah, I do all of the dark sides. Dark side of comedy, dark side of the 90s, dark side of the 2000s, dark side of football, dark side of wrestling, obviously.
I don't know if I can watch dark side of comedy. I've lived dark side of comedy. I don't want to. Already, we see it a lot.
Some of the episodes I was like, I can't do this. And some you're like, oh yeah, what did ever happen to that person? Like, oh. And some were honestly kind of, like, they did one on Maria Bamford and it wasn't really sad. It was like, mental health is real and now she's married and happy. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay.
That was wasn't that like the last episode? Cause I remember looking to see like, who do they cover? And it was mostly like a lot of toxic men. And I was like, I don't need to delve deeper into that. I already know more than I want to know. If I learn even one more thing, I'm going to explode and leave the earth. Like, but then I saw the last one was like Maria and I was like, that's a twist.
And that one's good. Yep. And it talks a lot about how she's like the comic and like doesn't get like the respect she deserves. But I was like, okay, compared to the other darkness this season, I'll take that. That's not so bad.
Right. And I almost wish it had been more like that. Like when I looked at it, I was like, oh, I like this last one. I wish it had been kind of more of that, but whatever. They're working with their very specific thing they're doing. So it may, I'm sure there was like one person who was like, okay, guys, we can talk about all these toxic guys. Can we do a Maria Bamford one? Like, I'm sure that was one tempting.
There was one woman in there who was just like, God, come on. Can one female comedian just please?
And she's not a creep. She's like one of the most wonderful comics.
Wonderful comics. Everyone loves her. Let's just do the, come on. There's some dark stuff there. Like, you know, she has a memoir out now too. So it's like, it was pretty good. But I do want to talk about Quiet on Set. First of all, I was reading some stats on it. It was the most watched unscripted program in the history of Discovery and HBO Max. It was their most watched thing. So popular, they just greenlit a fifth episode. So there's going to be a fifth episode in April. Yeah, the PR.
I don't know that I can handle that.
Yeah, so
I spiritually handle that. I'm like excited, but like each episode made me like I had like symptoms.
Yeah,
I experienced nausea. I couldn't sleep. Headaches. Like it was rough.
It was so because I mean we grew up with these kids. I remember the episodes. It was so hard to get through. Now they're going to do another episode that kind of looks at what happened after the doc. So it's going to be not but like a post interview with Soledad O'Brien. They're bringing in Soledad to ease the tensions. And they're going to have everyone sit down together. They'll be interviewing Drake Bell again, which is interesting because a lot of people have asked questions about the abuse that he's perpetuated. So that's expected to be a topic. And then there are, I believe, two new actors who will be sharing their experiences. So overall, it just sounds like it is going to be emotionally beating us down again.
And still no jail for anyone, but we'll still be talking, I guess.
No jail for anyone. Oh, I guess the one guy went to jail and then he just got out and everyone was like, and nobody. And then he just kept living life. And then the other guy
went right back to working on kids' TV because they were happy to have him back. Happy.
Just, and all those celebrities who are like, Brian Peck, great guy. Oh, I'm going to go sit in the courtroom for him. What do you mean? Oh, he's great.
These will be sealed, right? Forever. No one will ever know that I said these really upsetting things about how much I love this predator.
To imagine James Marsden and his PR person are just like, what? That was never supposed to come out. What do you mean it's on TV?
Exactly. And they're like, you know, they're all like, it's going to be sealed, right? What is this?
Yeah. And like a few have come out to say, you know, I didn't know all the details back then. The way it was presented to us was that this was like a 17-year-old who had seduced him and blah, blah, blah.
Which is still wrong.
Which is still like, really, really.
And like, right, he was like 45 and it's like, none of that makes sense.
Like the mom from Growing Pains was like, we were told it was a honeypot situation. What 17? No 17-year-old is a honeypot. Like, no.
No. No, it literally makes no sense. And it's, I think that's why as truly like gruesome as these things are, it's like part of me, I think there's something to watching these where like you understand your own childhood, you understand your own traumas and shit like that, because you're just like, oh, this was, I had a, I've been talking a lot about this documentary on TikTok, for better or worse. And I say that because it's TikTok and it's like, you might have 95% of people who like agree with you, but then you have like five people who are like, well, Dan should get to say his side. What side?
What's like? And also, Dan did say his side.
He did say his side.
Dan well, Schneider hired one of the child actors who worked on his shows to interview him. So, of course, that guy's like, Dan's always been great. He gave me money and a job. And then they it was all clearly questions that had been pre-approved. It was just the most sterile interview. It was so, so weird. And even though it was recorded by him and a friend, like the Hollywood Reporter carried it. All these sites reported on his side.
And it's like, it showed up. So for me, what really upset me about it was like, I just finished watching it. It showed up on my TikTok and it didn't look like he did it in such a way, and everybody covered it in such a way where it looked like he was being interviewed by like a news source or whatever. But the thing was like seeing that, I've never even met this man, was triggering for me.
Right.
It was like seeing this, I was like, no, what? I don't want to hear anything from you. What?
Yeah.
And so I did a video on it that like super blew up. It has like almost 3 million views where I was like, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to interview the predators from this. Like, we're not going to do this. Like, this is just so, I don't. And it was more about this culture of like, and we did it with Harvey and we do it all the time where it's like, all this stuff comes out. We have mountains of evidence. And then all anyone wants to hear from is the predator, as though they're going to admit it or like give us some excuse that it's not true. Like, what is it people want from that? And have they ever been a survivor? I don't get it.
I don't get it. It's what is Dan Schneider going to say to you that's going to make you go, huh? Okay. Right. Now I see all that bad behavior in a new light. Like, no, everything you did was just wrong. Just go away.
And sides of the story, it's like, it's people obsessed with that. I'm just like, you don't like survivors. Like, that's all I can think of. Like, who would ever want to hear the other side of someone who did these awful things?
There's no justification. There's nothing that's going to make you feel better. Because that's really, I think, what audiences like us want is that, or not me personally, but like when they seek that, it's they want to feel like, oh, this makes it okay. This is an apology.
Now, here's why he did it.
This is the atonement. So now it makes sense. And it's like, no, it's just accept that it's gross. We all watched a show we thought we loved, and now the memories are tainted, and we grow and accept that and move on.
And I think because there's this idea that like, well, I think part of it too, and I think what pisses me off about it is people were like, no, we should hear all sides of this, is that he said, she said toxic thing, where it's like, you can't have a survivor come forward without being like, well, you know, you could just be making all this up. Yeah. All these individual child actors, these like hundreds of people with court records could all be making, we have to ask the man if he did it.
And
if the man
on different sets, the documentary does such a good job of pointing out, like, it's not like these were all kids on the same set who, oh, I heard this from this person, repeated what this person said. Right. It's all isolated sets and incidents. And the way that like Drake Bell was separated from his family, his like parents, his whole he was isolated by this guy. And it was so clear he did it systemically. Like, he had a plan. Yeah. He knew what he was doing. And it makes you ask, like, how did this guy get on set? Who enabled this? Like, at a certain point, it seems like who went, like, three pedophiles being hired. That's just who is, like, bringing these people in. There's something weird about it at a certain point where you're like, so he did time and then they hired him on a Disney show and
So what could they say? It's so obnoxious to me because, look, I'm sure totally. I think there are a lot of viewers who are like, there has to be some explanation for this. I totally get that. But the ones who are like commenting on TikToks and stuff like this, who are like, no, we should fair trial, justice, send it to trial. And you're like, oh, so you've like never met a survivor. You don't know how the justice works.
How this is,
like, also like, and I did like a a follow-up video where like those people still didn't care. But I was like, we could literally talk about Brian Peck if you want to talk about how even all sides courtroom justice doesn't work. Like, did you even watch the doc?
Did you watch it? Because he went, because he was found guilty. And then guess what? They were like, oh, the dad from Growing Pains says he's a good guy. Let's just give him probation.
Right? Like, how are you like just trolling people who like know what they're talking about? And it's just that kind of guy who I really believe like a lot of those people who are like both sides, you know, anybody can say anything. I'm like, what have you done?
Well, yeah.
What are you trying to hide?
And I do think
no one has that opinion unless that's something's weird.
Yeah. I do think it is kind of part of a greater trend that we're seeing in true crime and documentaries where there is this focus on the criminal and their side of it. I feel like for a long time we were pushing back against that. People were like, the story should be victim-centered, victim-focused. Yes. And then I don't know if you watch Evil Lives Here on Investigation Discovery.
I have listened to it because I used to be the biggest Investigation Discovery head. I even went to, they had like a little convention thing for press people when I was working at Cosmo, and I went and they gave you like a little box lunch and I got to meet Candace DeLong. Whatever, that's for another time.
That is absolutely, I have also been to one of their press things and I was like, I'm absolutely obsessed with Investigation Discovery. Actually, like their PR person emails me every day and I'm like, tell me everything. What do you want me to know, girl? Like,
yes, I was, yeah, we're so on the same page.
Yeah, but they created a new series called Evil Lives Here, Evil Speaks, and they go into prisons and actually interview the people it's about. And usually the show used to be about like the family would be interviewed. Yeah. And now it's they go to prison and interview the actual criminal. And shocking, they don't tell the truth. It is just they go like they interview the victim and the families and they're like, yeah, he set my daughter on fire and set the house on fire. Then they go to the prison and he's like, I don't know. She just tripped and a fire started. I don't. And it's like, why are we doing this?
Because it's like, all I can think of is because there is a part of the world that for their own weird reasons, like hates survivors, wants to believe nothing bad ever happens. Something is broken in their brains. And so it's like, I think that's the attraction to like, see, those people are liars. And I don't know, someone could have tripped in a fire, could have started. I mean, I don't want to be the victim of a witch hunt. What if somebody did trip in front of me and then a fire started and then they told me that I was bad?
Yeah. And I would, and I think
I don't want that.
I think that also doubles back to a documentary you mentioned, which I guess I should also look the name up, even though
I know I
hated this documentary. It's I can't even believe this was made, honestly.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Selena and Yolanda, the secrets between them. This is the first English interview that Yolanda Saldivar. Saldivar has given since all of this happened. It's the first time her family has spoken about really their side. This is a 3-episode documentary that came out on, I think, Oxygen. Yeah, Oxygen. And you can also watch it on Peacock. And it looks into how she says it actually went down in the shooting of Selena. If you don't know the detail, this is what witnesses, the court case has always said happened, that their neighbors in this hotel room heard fighting. Selena's family and friends have always said she went there to get legal documents and tax documents that Yolanda was basically like holding hostage. Selena had fired her, and Yolanda was like, well, if I hold on to these files, she's gonna have to talk to me. And so Selena got sick of it, went to go get the files. There was an argument. Yolanda pulled a gun out and shot her as Selena was trying to run. Selena ran out of the room, and witnesses at this point said they heard Yolanda chasing after her, shouting, "You bitch, you bitch." And then Selena runs into the hotel lobby and is like, please call the police. She'll shoot me again. She's going to shoot me again. All the witnesses have agreed this is what they saw and what happens. And it makes a lot of sense. But what this says is, what if none of that happened and we listen to the imagination of this woman who is probably one of the most hated people in music history?
It really is like a weird version of that O.J. Simpson book, like, if I did it. It's like Yolanda, like, if I didn't do it, here's would have happened.
Here's like a thing that could maybe make a sense. And her... it's really ridiculous. Because I will say, to the documentary's credit, they present her side with a lot of care and try, but then they also have people like talk, like experts they interview who are just like, she did it though. We know she did it. And so it's kind of like, what? So, but Yolanda says that she was afraid of Selena's dad because Selena's dad had, I guess, threatened her or something, even though Selena's dad is like, no, we had just fired her. But anyway, Yolanda's like, I was afraid.
She quit. She's like, no,
I quit. I didn't want to work with them. And then like she goes and buys a gun, learns how to use it, returns the gun because Selena is like, don't get a gun. Why are you doing that? So she returns it. Then she gets mad at Selena again and buys the gun again. And she says again, no, it's because I was afraid of her dad. Her dad is in a completely different place. At this point, like, Yolanda has gone somewhere else. Selena is driving to another city to go get this paperwork from her. The dad is nowhere around. So why do you still have the gun? She says that Selena came in the room and, you know, was accusing her of all these things and she couldn't take it. So she pulled the gun out, held it to her head and was like, what do you want? Do you just want me to kill myself? I'll kill myself for you. And Selena was like, no, don't. And tried to like get the gun away from her. And then Yolanda says, and I was pointing the gun at her being like, don't walk out. And it accidentally went off as she was heading towards the door.
Yeah.
And this is someone who took classes, who has trained, who would know to take safeties and all that stuff. But that is the version of the story we get now, with a lot of just sketchy details and stuff from her family that's like, oh, I'm pretty sure that one time I saw this note from Selena that makes it me think that she was having an affair, actually. And it's like,
and then they say, like, you know, Yolanda said that some random guys beat her up and they didn't know who beat her up, and everybody said she was crazy and this never happened, but we actually unearthed, and there's this like dramatic music that plays, this document that says, that's like a letter that says, like, hey, remember when I beat you up on June 19th?
Yeah.
It was great, or whatever. You know, it was like so specific.
It was like, so specific. It's like, it was like, but years later, a letter was sent that was like, hey, Yolanda, just want to say so sorry about beating you up on behalf of Selena's father on June 19th at exactly 3:34 p.m.
It's like super real. It happened.
And it absolutely happened 100%. And that was one of the reasons also why Selena went down, because Yolanda was like, these men beat me, they raped me. And Selena went there to be like, I will take you to the hospital. I will get you the help. And they go to the hospital. And the hospital was like, nothing happened to this lady. That's when Selena like was just
it had some like faded like, marks. And but it's like, it just sucks, because like there are parts of it where like there's parts of it, the things that they bring up that are undeniable and still don't change the facts, where they're like, oh, the media spun it to this thing because she was this like, you know, like Latin woman who like they weren't, you know, she's like, they really pinned it as like she was older and she was like wanted to be this young woman, like
it was jealous. They brought out
the misogyny, there's racism, there's like there is this other stuff, and yet you did it.
And then, so it's like, and then yeah. But at the same time, it's like, but you did it though.
And but you did it. But it was like, what are the points that you're making, where it's like media spun it and they made it this thing and they made her seem crazy. And I'm like, okay, let's say she's sane as hell. If she's sane as hell and killed her, that's like almost worse.
Kind of worse, because why? Yeah. Yeah. And they try to put her on the same pedestal of kind of being like, it's exactly how the media treated Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. And it's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because they didn't actually do anything. And they definitely didn't kill anybody.
No. And it's, yeah, there's just so much of it. And I watched all of it, like, thinking there was going to be something more to this. And look, like, there's moments where they're like, the police messed this up. And it's like, well, duh. Like,
yeah.
But that doesn't, have you ever, I don't know. It's just very, it was, it's very strange. Like, it left me feeling real. Because look, there's a part of me that's like, I don't know. What if something else had happened? We don't know what happened in that room. We know what the witnesses said. I was willing to hear her out. I think that's why, I'm sure that's why you watched it too. I was like, I don't know. There could be more here. Even if she did do it, maybe there's more here.
Yeah.
But then as you watch it, you're like, there's not.
There's not. Yeah. Slowly you're like, wait, that doesn't make sense.
And they're almost out of time. There's 30 minutes left.
It's like, what are you going to say? That's going to, and no, instead it's just the people being like, yeah, no, I think if it was an accident, Selena wouldn't have been running, shouting, she's going to shoot me again. She's going to shoot me again.
Because also, like, I think about it in like, okay, if you and I were in a room, we'd known each other super well, the gun accidentally went off and you shot me, you'd be like, I'm so sorry. Fuck. Like, the gun went off. I'm so sorry. And I'd be like, oh my God, just get help. Like, I wouldn't run out and be like, she's going to do it again.
She's going to do it again.
Crazy. She hates me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And exactly. And also it's like, she said originally she was going to kill herself, and that's why the gun even came out. And it's like, if you had just shot Selena and you're like that close to the edge and you love her so much and you just shot her on accident, why, I mean, wouldn't you you'd probably kill yourself right then and there. And like, she did like threaten, like she went and hid in like a truck with a gun
in the truck,
and like there was a hostage situation kind of, but it did at that point kind of seem clear, like, no, the intention here was never to kill herself. Like, she, you hear her, they have the phone recordings between her and the cops where she's like, everybody's just gonna really hate me now. Oh,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, girl, like, yeah,
yes, for decades
you shot Selena,
like, in a days in. I'm not saying that there's a better place for someone to be shot, but there's so much about this that's so wrong. Like, that's where, like, the queen of Tejano music dies in a fucking days in from her fan club. Like, there's so much about it that's just like heartbreaking on every level.
Yeah.
It's so just, yeah, people are gonna kind of hate you now.
They're gonna hate you.
And her sisters or nieces or whatever, and they're like, I don't know, I was friends with both of them. And I'm like, okay, well, it's been like 30 years. So I think, I don't, like, do they still feel conflicted? It was just weird, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I wouldn't recommend. I don't think it's worth your time. If you're a big, like, true crime person and you want to see how it was made, sure, check it out. But not worth it.
Selena fans, no.
Yeah.
Selena fans, no. I have a weird feeling going into it, but I don't know what I was hoping for. I don't know what I was hoping for. I just, it's something that I'm such a huge Selena fan and I've been for my whole life. So it's just like, I will watch this, even though it's an interview with this woman everybody hates, who like took away this person.
And
I don't know.
I guess I thought there'd be, I wanted some like accountability. I thought maybe
that's what I wanted. I wanted some like, here's what I was going through and it doesn't make it right.
Yeah. But it's, that's, you know, some mental breakdown or medication, something like that, where it would be like, you know, I was obsessed and I had lost my mind. And, but no, it is her just trying to be like, no. See, so actually it was this. And it's like, that's no.
Yeah. But here's the thing too, that I will say, this came like 30 years later. The Dan Schneider apology, the Harvey Weinstein stuff is too fresh. No, we don't want, I would not, nobody would have wanted to hear a 3-hour Yolanda Saldivar TED talk in whatever it was, 95 or whatever. Like, I don't want to hear, like, but now we have this kind of like, yeah, let her talk. I don't know. Let her talk for 12 hours. Let's believe her. There's this weird,
it's weird, like,
I don't think she had them.
And it's also like, I think she's coming up her time, like where she'll be on probation soon. So it also feels like a little bit of a, her and her family is a big part of the documentary. And you can kind of tell they're pushing a lot of the narratives and evidence to get her out, like some of the stuff they're stretching. So it all kind of feels gross. It's Yeah, now nah, don't watch it. It's yeah, you know, don't watch. I'm gonna officially on the don't watch. But what you should do, I love that you brought up the 2020 Momfluencer doc. I mean, it's not a doc. It's 2020. That's TV. But these
I literally, it's so funny. I love that you said that because I literally like was talking about it on my podcast and I called it a documentary and I was like, that's so generous of me to call it a documentary. It's literally 2020. Why am I calling it this?
But... it's a like hour long 2020 episode that is so good, though. And this is their second episode about this mommy influencer. There was one when she was like first arrested that like interviewed.
They did another one?
Yeah. So there was an earlier one where they just interviewed Jody's niece, who's in this one. But it was more like we don't really know the details or what happened. But here's this niece who's like, yeah, my aunt Jody sucks. She did all this horrible stuff to me. And this one,
it's not a documentary and they're churning them out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, right. Cause this is the news. So they're reporting on the news. So, right. This one, it is more in depth. They interview the officers who were involved. There's camera footage from the family that like rescued the little boy who escaped. And it is horrifying.
It's really horrifying.
In the Dan Schneider, we got to take care of kids in this country. We got to care about kids, people.
Well, and that was the thing that my favorite part, because I've got a lot of issues with that documentary, but my favorite part about the documentary is the niece at what she says at the very end of it, where she's like, please, I know it's tempting to watch this and think like, oh my God, so crazy. Couldn't happen. Couldn't affect my community. Like, remember that like this can happen and does happen. Like she didn't say it as overtly, but it was basically like, this is happening to people in your neighborhood. This is happening to people that you know. And it meant, it just felt so like the best part of the documentary, because I think that's a thing with true crime, especially when it comes to kids and survivors and stuff like this. So many people watch it and they're like, part of why they watch it is because it's such a far away reality for them. And they're like, oh my God, can you imagine? This is so crazy. This is so rare. And it's like, I don't know. Your sister could be doing that to her kids. Your coworker could be doing that to their kids. So maybe next time you see something like this, you step in and help. Like that should be the message of stuff like this, but it's not always the message people take with them.
Yeah. I think the scariest part is like they play the prison clips from Jody and Ruby, and they're both like, I don't even understand why I'm in prison. Like, so you
don't do naughty things.
I don't do bad things. Oh, so now you can't even discipline your kids. You can't even discipline your kids these days. And then they show the kid and it's like they haven't been fed. They have scars everywhere. And like the cops are crying on the scene like they can barely stand seeing this. And they're just like, what? We're just sent here by God and we didn't even do anything.
Yeah. The devil's been after me for a while is another fun quote.
I just think there are going to be so many more documentaries like this coming from particularly just like Mormon influencer types who present this like picture perfect image. And behind the scenes, it is probably like a sweat factory just churning out content with these kids they actually hate.
Yeah, because I've always been skeptical. I think a lot of us have. I'm sure that's why a lot of people watch this, of like momfluencers or any kind of like, my kids are content. Like, it's a weird thing. And it's also like, one of the 2000s documentaries that's very similar to this. I watched the one about John and Kate Gosselin.
Yeah, I watched that one.
And that one was, oh my God. And I feel like they're kind of sister documentaries in this way. I know I'm still calling it a documentary, but still, they're sister pieces, because you have like the grown-up kids from like John and Kate plus 8 or whatever, which I never watched that stuff. But like,
Same. Right,
I don't know. But I was like, oh, this was a big part of culture. I want to know what happened. And then you have these kids and they're like, I didn't want the cameras there. It was really upsetting to me as a kid. I can't control it. And I think there's something with that, with like,
because for me it's like I don't understand when watching children became like popular content for adults, you know, like sure, when I was a kid I would watch Kids on Barney, but I can't say there's ever been a part of my life where I'm like, oh, I have to watch this person's kid. Even I don't have kids, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe if I had kids, but I just think it's
there's
like
a consent issue that just feels
and I feel like John and Kate was kind of the start of that, of being like, this, these kids are here to entertain you and they're other people's kids. And that also came with like later with 16 and Pregnant and all the teen moms, where it's like, be entertained by someone's children, and that became normal. And now it's this weird, I mean, there was just a piece that came out in the Atlantic, I believe, about the laws they're trying to create to protect children who, you know, are doing influencer work. And there's so many kids who are adults now who are like, I left my family, I don't speak to them. We never really had a family relationship. It was a business relationship. You know, they were more my boss than parents.
Yeah.
There are also now like creepy stories of obviously like pedophiles and horrible people look at this content, and their parents who are aware of that and will sell, you know, like on a Patreon, special images and stuff, knowing that they're catering to like these horrible people. Or they'll be like, oh, this grown man wants my 5-year-old daughter to say happy birthday. That seems normal. And they do it because of the money. And I was reading it, I was just like, we need to change every law. This should not be able to happen.
Dude, it's so funny because I remember seeing stuff when Cameo first popped up. I remember getting requests, and I would talk to friends of mine who are doing cameos, and I was like, this one seems like sex work. Like, legitimately, this is sex work. This is not like goofy and funny. This is like sex work. And I am not charging sex work rates for what they want me to do. But it's the same type of thing where it's like, oh, it's just saying happy birthday. And it's like, how old is the person saying happy birthday? Whom? What is this?
Yeah. Like, why like, is a 5-year-old?
Why are you being asked to like slather lotion on your feet and giggle and look exasperated while you say like, hope you're having a good day? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's just, these are all, but it's like the way people have snuck into like, if you were an adult and it was like, extra photos, a peek into my life, you're consenting to that. You know how they might be used. It doesn't fucking know that.
Yeah.
And you have to know as a kid, as an adult who has kids,
right,
that if you're, for an extra $5 a month, get more pictures of Kaylee. Like, what?
No, that should just stop. You're a bad, like, oh, there's going to be just so many kids who hate their parents in the future. We are just heading towards.
I'm ready to talk to them.
Yeah, I should probably go into therapy instead, because that's where the money's going to be. That's.
it's so, I don't know. I think the other thing that I like about this stuff is like so much of like what I do and like I've always wanted to do is like talk about the stuff that I feel like nobody talks about. And like I thought I was maybe the only one, and then when I started talking about it and like writing about it, and people were like, oh, a lot of us went through that, and I'm like, but we're not talking about it. So then you feel crazy. And I think like I'm really happy that there is this wave of like, every time I watch somebody on one of these things and they're like, oh yeah, I don't talk to my mom anymore, like my first book was called How to Be Alone. And I like talked about family estrangement. I'd never seen anybody really talk about a lot of that stuff. It was very taboo. It was very like, I remember writing it and being like, what if everybody is like, something is wrong with you? How dare you talk about this? We don't talk about this. You're ungrateful. Like, I was terrified because there was not really a dialogue about that. And now every time I see someone bravely, like it takes so much bravery to be like, I'm going to call out my parents were toxic, the people around me, like I'm not going to be blindly loyal to them forever just because they're my family, because that type of thing had harmed me so deeply. And I felt so alone in the world because I didn't know anybody who had that situation talk about it. And it's just because we're not meeting each other.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. And because it's not okay to say at a party.
Yeah, we like don't talk about it. And it's, I think it's gonna be just so much more of the norm with all the, I don't know, everybody's just churning their kids out for content. And it's like, okay, I don't know.
Those people deserve to speak. And it's like, all I can think of when I watch this stuff, because it just feels so personal to me, I think, you know, a lot of people feel that way, is I'm just like, fuck, I hope they have people around them who are like validating the hell out of them, because that is not what the world does to people who speak out about toxic family. That's not what it does. No. It says like, oh my God, you have to forgive people. They're doing the best they could. Like,
it's family. You only get one family.
You get one family and blood is thicker than water and all this shit. And it's so hard to walk away from that. And also like, the number one human desire is to belong to your family and be loved by your family. It takes such insane amounts of bravery to walk away from that.
Yeah, exactly. I am going to share one more sad. We're just talking like the saddest documentaries. I know. That is what I like this weekend. I don't know. I've been in a depression spiral. I guess that's it. Yep. I was just like, I need to be under covers watching the darkest shit in the world.
It's also like chicken or the egg. Have we been in a depression spiral? Because this is the shit.
Because this is
about
what I'm watching. Is it because I've watched like 8 hours of like Mean Girl Murders? Maybe.
I haven't watched Mean Girl Murders. I don't know if I can have that. But I've watched stuff like that.
Mean Girl Murders is pretty interesting because it's like, wow, these are teen girl murders and that's wild. But some of that, like there's also Murder Under the Friday Night Lights, which is about like football play. Murders? Yeah. And that one isn't as good. It kind of tries to stretch things a bit. But it's I mean, they're all like on Max. They're all like those ID murder shows.
I wonder if the Mean Girl Murders is just rebranded. There used to be some ID show. I'm sure you watch it. That was like about friendship. That was like bad friend. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that?
Killer Best Friends. I think it was
something
Killer
like
Best Friends.
That. I don't remember what it was. But it was all about like girls who killed their friends. Yeah, so I feel like some of that repackaging.
I think they do definitely cover some of the same stories. And then there are some new ones that are more like, this girl wanted to be the most popular singer in her Glee club because this is when Glee came out and it was very popular. But someone else got the lead, so she killed her choir teacher. And it's like, oh, okay.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
I live by routines, but I especially love my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. And my shopper knows this about me. When Sunday rolls around and I place my weekly stock-up order, Joe sends texts from the aisles. Wilted lettuce? Nuh-uh. Hard pass. Deal on my favorite sparkling water? Whew. Grab two. Fresh flowers just because? Sounds like a delightful idea. If you love routines that work for you, get Shipt same-day delivery. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com/hi.
I want to talk about a Netflix documentary that just came out last week. It is called The Otru Affair, A French Nightmare. And it is...
It rhymes?
It rhymes, yeah. The Otru Affair, A French Nightmare. It is...
Yeah, I love that everything has become Lifetime. Everything is Lifetime. We used to mock, like, people used to mock Lifetime. Now everything is Lifetime everywhere.
The
rhyming, especially.
This doc feels like something Lifetime would turn into a show. So it is so wild. Okay, where to even begin with it? Okay, there's a family with three sons. The three sons have been going to school and there are signs of like abuse. They're saying inappropriate things that are too sexual. They, you know, have bruises and stuff. And the teachers are like, something is going on here. We are going to report it. They do. The kids tell the police everything. They're like, yes, our parents, assault us, rape us, all this horrible stuff. They're very detailed. And it's clear to the cops they're telling the truth because it's just so detailed. This is stuff that like a 7-year-old just shouldn't know about.
Right.
So they arrest the parents. And at first the parents are like, no, it's all a lie. And then slowly, eventually the parents are like, they're telling the truth. It's all true. And not only that, the parents start talking about all these other people. They're like, well, also this other couple in the building would come and they would also, you know, we would give them our children and stuff. And so the cops go and arrest that couple. And that couple at first is like, no, no, that no. And then they're like, yeah, they're telling the truth. And the cops are like, what the fuck? And this couple starts naming tons of people. This couple is like, well, also they would sell their kids to these people. And this couple was involved and this couple was involved. And the first couple, the parents are also like, oh, and yeah, these two people were involved and this couple was involved. And slowly they basically accuse their entire apartment building. Like, they're like, everybody in the apartment building is involved. And at this point, the cops are like, wait a second. Like, this is, wait. Like, and they're just like, there's thin walls here. Like, I think
it's a whole town. It's a town of child prostitution.
Yeah, and they're just like, and they're like, wait, there's people here who have kids. Like, what are you saying? Like, they would have heard this if they, you know. But the prosecutor in France is so gung-ho on it that he is just like, no, we are going to believe all of this. And also there's all of these kids corroborating all of it, because the original kids told other kids what they had been saying. And then all of these kids in the town are like, it happened to me. They did this to me. They did it to me too. And it's pretty soon there are like 45 kids. There's like 16 people on trial. And the prosecutor is like, we believe the kids 100%. We're doing that. We're going to trial. As it goes to trial, slowly it all kind of starts to fall apart. Like, there's one kid who's like, he did this to me on this day, blah, blah, blah. And everything, like, the prosecutor just keeps pushing him, and it slowly comes out like the guy wasn't even in town that day. It's clear the kid just kind of is making things up and is like slowly starts crying and is like, yeah, I made it all up. I just like the attention I was getting because everybody was saying all this stuff. And it just like blew up. Like, France is just like, wait, what do you mean? Like, some of these kids are telling the truth. Some are lying. Some of the people actually did it. Some didn't. And the original four people who did actually do this stuff, basically in order to avoid more shame or to distract the issue, they decided to accuse a bunch of innocent random people that they did not even know. Like, literally this lady was just like, I just made up a name and didn't think that that would be a real person. And then they went and arrested this lady and her husband. And it just goes that they basically, those four did actually assault like their kids, and they just threw and just turned it into this massive, like, in over the entire country case and issue of people trying to figure out like what was the actual truth. And then people turning against the kids and being like, see, all of the kids are liars. You can't believe them. And it coming out of like, no, some of the kids were telling the truth, but some weren't. And it just was basically the cops' faults for not, you know, actually using child like questioners. They did not bring in people who knew how to talk to children. They just had these like French investigators, I imagine, smoking thin, long cigarettes being like, so tell me what happened. And they just believed every single word. And the kids were like, it should have been up to them to like gather physical proof. Like, some of the kids did have it, but then there's one girl who was like, yeah, my dad raped me with three other men all at the same time. And the doctors were like, she's a virgin. Like, we examined her. None of this happened. There's no signs of any of this. There would be signs.
So, well, because I have a question about this. So, like, because I haven't seen it, I don't even know if I can.
It's one where I'm like, the first two episodes are so hard to watch because they just lay out each fact as it kind of comes out.
Yeah.
And then by the end, when you realize like how it actually went down, and like the people who are guilty do get prison time, although not enough. And that was also the other thing, is that eventually all the people who were innocent do get acquitted, and the people who were guilty got time. Some of them got like time served because basically they all were sent to prison as soon as they were arrested and were in there for like 2-3 years. There were some innocent people who like did not see their families for 3-4 years. And then the four people who actually were guilty, each one of them only got like 6 to 10 years. And they were like, what?
After ruining other people's lives? That's so insane.
It's insane. Like, they're all out now. I was like, they're all free now. They're out. Like, they all got out and just were like, sorry about that. Changing my name. Never talk to me again. And it is the wildest documentary.
Well, but so my biggest question is like, why were some of the kids lying? Were they told to lie? Because like the number, well, also because what I hate about this whole situation and why I want answers is because predators, and abusers and stuff like that love to be like, well, people lie. And it's like 0.001% of people make a false claim, especially a child. I'm sure it's like negative 0.00. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they say why these kids, someone had to them. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So they do talk about it. And so this is a small French town. Like, this isn't Paris. This is more rural. Like, everybody kind of knows everyone. And so when it started to come out about these three kids, as the investigation was going, that like it was being gossiped about, like between parents, babysitters. And so, you know, one girl said even like, I just heard my babysitter saying on the phone, like, that's what they did to someone. So I repeated it. You know, and it's just kind of a lot of the kids being like, you know, the adults wanted me to say this. It seemed like they were getting happy the more that I said or made up, or, you know, it seemed like that's what they wanted me to say. And just feel they interview two of the original victims, the people who were found guilty. And it's just it's so sad to talk to them because they clearly just weren't believed after that, even though they were the ones telling the truth and who it all started with. But at the same time, they start telling stories of like, and my dad murdered someone. He murdered a girl and buried her on a farm in Belgium. And they took us to Belgium to bury her and made us have sex with like animals and stuff. And everyone is like, okay, wait. And they're like, well, no, we'll show you where the farm is. And they never find a body or anything. But he still to this day swears it all happened. And it's just, I think, at the end, a fascinating documentary of just like false memories, real memories, how we still just like forget victims in the midst of all this chaos, and how easy it is for abusers to distract from the point, to just create all of this noise to, you know, not really face accountability.
Because people want to believe, because of those people. Yeah, it's like what we were talking about earlier. People want to believe that victims are lying and that this stuff doesn't actually happen. And so if there's any grain of like, well, I don't know, what about that? Like, and what about this? And it's like, you know, two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
It can be that this kid experienced it and this kid lied about it because he was exposed to an insane circus. That, by the way, kids should never hear shit like this.
Yeah.
Is the other thing that stands out to me. I'm like, yeah,
is that they
kid said that? Oof.
They just put these kids on like on the stand with no preparation, no talking to a psychologist to be like, let's really get into like, what is this? What does this mean? What do you think these words mean? And it is one of the cases that at the end they talk about how it totally transformed child sexual assault cases and how they're approached, how children are talked to. And it's because France fucked up so bad that everything had to change all over the world. And people were like, what? And I think 12 people who were acquitted eventually and found innocent, like they got millions of francs or euros or whatever. It was the biggest settlement in like French history.
Wow. Because it was just like, they just didn't do any of this. They were like, sure.
Yeah. They didn't do any. But they just were like, we believe the kids. And the parents were like, what? Like test, dude, test. Like, look at, gather evidence. I didn't do this. And
which is so, but then you have the other side of it where you look at, the 2020 show where it was like, oh, so many people were like, hey, can you do like a wellness check on this family? Yeah. Something's not right. And they don't do it.
And they don't do it.
It's like you have two extremes. It feels like when it comes to these cases where it's like, they're ignored. Unbelievable amounts of harm happens. They're ignored and then they're like overcompensated for, and then like no due diligence is done at all. They're just like arresting whoever from wherever. And it's like, okay, neither one of that is the answer.
Yeah, none of this is helping.
No, it's so, and it's also strange to me because like, if that was my professional job, I feel like I would have figured it out by now. Like, we've been doing this a long time. So weird to like see them be like, I don't know, we didn't look into repeat calls from like a 16-year-old being like, I think my brothers and sisters are being abused. We didn't check into that. Why should we care?
And
you have the other where it's like, I don't know, she said this, we just started arresting people off the street. Like,
oh, and
is this your job?
Also,
new here.
When the Outreau documentary, the French one, started, I was like, well, clearly this must be the 70s or 80s. Like,
but that's what I mean.
No, no, this happened in the 2000s. We were alive. This happened in like 2005. Like,
that's what I mean. I'm just like, you've been doing this long enough. This is a profession. How could you not know what to do?
Yeah.
Because like, this is very much not our profession. And I have notes. I'm like, would you not do this? Like, it's just, it's wild to me that it's just like either ignore it or just like pull people out of Walmart and be like, are you Harry Anderson? Because apparently he's a rapist. You're going to jail.
Yep.
Like, what?
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's ridiculous. We're at time here. This went so fast, and you're gonna have to come back so we can actually talk about like dating and relationship shows, which is what I wanted to get into. But I think the both of us had to just decompress from the amount of sad, horrible documentaries we've been watching.
Yeah, because I haven't been watching a lot of at night. I have to turn on at least like 15 minutes of New Girl to like really reset some shit.
Yeah,
because otherwise I'm like, you cannot keep watching the dark side of the 2000s until you pass out.
Yeah, it's like,
and then you have nightmares.
You gotta break it up. I've been doing like Night Court and the Night Court reboot, which is a show. It's fine. And and then I'm also watching Palm Royale on Apple TV, which has an all-star cast: Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Carol Burnett, so many stars, Ricky Martin. And it is so confusing and weird. And it's like they just threw a bunch of money at something that they didn't really have a strong idea about. And it's like, okay.
I started watching it and I was like, I cannot figure out the tone here.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Sometimes it's like really kitsch and like, oh, we're winking at ourselves. And other times it's like, is this a murder mystery or something? Like, what? It's just, it's like they just mushed together 8 different shows.
That's I always wonder like how that happened. What was there an original vision? Because sometimes you look back and it's like there was a movie that started off as one thing and then too many cooks got involved, or was this the vision?
Yeah.
I always wonder that with stuff like that you see, because you're like, you just feel like somebody came in and was like, no, everybody has a duck. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? The guy who had the most money was like, this is how it has to be. And then like, everyone's like, why is that a show where everyone has a duck? And it's like, because of Gary, you know?
Yeah.
He came in at the end. I don't know.
So you have any recommendations for the listeners? Anything you think people should check out?
Oh my God. It's so hard to escape from the shackles of what I've been watching recently. I don't know. You know, I talk a lot about like, I'm a big rewatcher. I rewatch the same things all the time. And then sometimes something comes in. I just did like my 90th rewatch of Dead to Me. I adore Dead to Me.
I love Dead to Me.
Yeah. It's just such a beautiful show. I've never seen a character like Judy on TV. I think it's such a gorgeous exploration of like trauma and queerness and mental health. It's just like, I'm just obsessed with that show. So that'll be my not unbelievably heavy recommendation.
If you watch any of the documentaries we talked about, watch Dead to Me after, it'll help turn things around.
And it has a bit of a true crimey thing to it too.
Like in a fun kind
friendship
of
friendship and grief and trauma and really funny and like it hits so many things.
And my suggestion is gonna be Grey's Anatomy. Grey's is back, baby. And I don't, this season it's like they just went, you know what, let's go batshit, let's go insane, throw it all against the wall, let's do it. Because they are just, it is standard old Grey's Anatomy again of just like, what do you mean there's a bomb inside a baby? It's
what?
The chaos is back. So, Grey's is back. If you need some traditional old school TV, that's your homework. That's what you got to watch. We're in one of those weird lulls right now where there's not like a ton of new stuff because it's all like about to come back. So, hey, we're going to have a bunch of stuff to talk about coming up. Lane, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people follow you? And also make sure you pick up her ebook, You're Not the Only One Fucking Up, Breaking the Endless Cycle of Dating Mistakes. It's available now. Where can they follow you?
Yeah, I am at Hello Lane Moore on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. I will never call
never
it X.
Call it that.
Never, ever. I saw somebody call it that in earnest the other day, and I was like, no. Oh, what happened to you? No. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Hello Lane Moore. My podcast, I Thought It Was Just Me, is on patreon.com/Lane Moore. And yeah, that's my third book is the ebook. And my second book, You Will Find Your People, How to Make Meaningful Friendships as an Adult, comes out on paperback on April 30th.
Yes.
So you can go to that too. And it has a extra colorful, fun, they're both colorful, but it's a whole different vibe, which is always fun when you get to do that with your books. You're like, oh, she has a new look.
Yeah. Oh, this sounds like the exact book I need to pull me out of this depression spiral, and also just maybe not watching murder 24/7. Yeah, those are going to be big changes for me.
They go hand in hand, really.
Lane, thank you so much for joining me. And everybody, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode.
TVISA with Ashley. Another episode, another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar and produced by Matt Apodaca. Our theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say, and let us know what you think. And tell your friends, family, anybody. We got a lot of TV recs for a lot of people. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
I live by routines, but I especially love my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. And my shopper knows this about me. When Sunday rolls around and I place my weekly stock-up order, Joe sends texts from the aisles. Wilted lettuce? Nuh-uh. Hard pass. Deal on my favorite sparkling water? Whew. Grab two. Fresh flowers just because? Sounds like a delightful idea. If you love routines that work for you, get Shipt same-day delivery. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com/hi.